What's up, guys? Welcome to episode 48.
Coming up on 52, which would be a year.
We are. I mean, we're losing people every day. It's getting smaller, as you can see.
It's
so
just me and Luke again. This is this is now the Tornar Show. Thank you for tuning in.
Yep.
No longer Firestarters for Jesus. It's the Tornars for Jesus.
Why does kindness seem revolutionary? When did we let hate get so ordinary?
Everyone is hanging out with their mom, or not a Christian anymore. Not sure which of the ones true, but they're not here. So
the Lord knows their hearts.
Jonah, any interesting things that happened this week? I was driving down to church today, and I was kind of distracted, like looking in my back mirror for some reason. And all of a sudden, I see this deer just jump across the road, and it was like 2 feet from my car, and I didn't hit it.
I almost hit one, too. The deers are, for some reason,
they're
suicidal.
Out today, dude. Yeah,
I don't know why. They just don't want their lives to be lived anymore. Like, go get some counseling.
Guys, life is valuable. Come on now.
Put up the suicide hotline right here for the deer.
No, but today is Mother's Day, and so I wanted to touch on a few cool mothers in the Bible, just real quick. So, first one is Eve, the first mother, I guess.
Facts.
And I guess she was, like, I'm confused. Like, if they didn't sin, would they have had children?
No.
I guess
no,
not.
Well, I mean, probably.
See,
it's not a sin to have children. It's actually
it's a blessing.
Be fruitful and multiply is the commandment, you know?
Was that after the fall or before the fall? Be fruitful and multiply. I'm not sure. Anyways, next mother. Regardless, they sinned and more children were born. Actually, the cool thing is, like, God, it was a promise, like, your children or your descendant will crush the snake of the devil. Yeah. So kind of like reunite.
Yeah, the redemption comes from your bloodline.
Yeah. And that's also where the curse of childbearing became painful. So I am sorry for that, mothers.
They probably would have had kids, but there would have been no pain in childbirth.
Yeah. Next one is Sarah. And this one's interesting. You know, like Sarah and Abraham, because she was promised that she would have descendants of many nations, and kings would come from her. And she got older and older and nothing happened. And so there's the whole story of where, you know, she has her, not slave, but servant, I guess. I don't know what exactly she
Handmaiden
was.
Handmaiden girl.
Yeah.
Hagar.
She was like, well, Abe, you're going to have a kid with her because I'm getting too old. So there's a whole faith
it's
story.
It's kind of weird because he was like 100 at that point as well. So
yeah. Anyways, she has a kid at what, 98 years old or something like that?
Yeah, something like that.
And many nations did come from Isaac. So also Ishmael, the son from the slave maiden, turned into pretty much Islam. So
yeah.
Yeah. Take with that as you will. Leah was Jacob's second, Leah is kind of a sad story, honestly, because Jacob was married her sister, right? Or he worked for, like, what?
7 years.
Well, 14 years, right? Because
yeah,
he worked
for
both. So that's also a pretty crazy story in the Bible. So he's working, he meets this girl, and her dad's like, well, you got to work for me for 7 years, and then you can marry her. And she's like, he's like, cool. So he works 7 years by real quick, and then I don't know how you marry the wrong person. That really confuses me.
They had, like, veils and stuff.
I know,
like,
but,
still,
like,
they're probably, like, different heights. And
would you notice the vibe
different.
Is off somehow?
Yeah.
Anyways, he realizes he has the wrong wife when they're in bed, I guess.
I guess that's when he noticed it.
Too late, obviously. And that was Leah. And then he had to work another 7 years to get, what was her name?
Rachel. The only reason he got Leah first, she was older and Rachel was younger. And her dad was like, no, I can't have my younger daughter married before my older. So he just kind of tricked him. So
yeah. This one's a hard one to pronounce. It's Moses' mother, Jehochabed, something like that. And this one's interesting because she literally sacrificed her motherhood to save her child,
yeah.
Which is a crazy thing to think about.
He had sisters, right? Didn't her sister put him in the
river? Yeah, yeah.
Miriam?
That's true. So she was still a mother, but her motherhood to Moses.
Yeah.
Which for a mother is really hard to put your child in a basket made out of reeds and put it in a river full of crocodiles and send it down the river.
She still got to see him, or at least his sister did, because wasn't his sister a caretaker?
Yeah, they met up again. Also, if you guys want to see a great movie, you remember the animation of Moses? Like the biblical movie animation? Mm-hmm. Such a good movie. Yeah. The visuals in that are pretty awesome.
That's all me and Luke watched.
Yep.
No, Phineas and Ferb, Thomas. Well, no, we did watch a little Thomas the Train. We dabbled in that. But nothing extraordinary.
I'll put a link to that movie down below so you guys can check it out.
Bible movies.
Because it's very cool.
It's probably not as cool as we remember it being.
Dude, it is cool. I watched part of it again. It's so well done.
Dang.
Animations are so good. Anyways.
That's cool.
So all these mothers, in a sense, like, were promised. Or, like, their children are literally fulfilling God's promises. And without them, we wouldn't be here, essentially. So all these mothers had a huge part to play in where we are now. But we're not done yet. So we have...
I was like, you're going to wrap it up there, bro? You forgot, like, some of the most important ones. Like Mary.
Naomi kind of gained a daughter in Ruth. So she was more of a spiritual mother in that sense. Because, like, I feel like to be a mother, you don't necessarily have to be a mother through birth. You can obviously adopt, or you can be a mentor, spiritual mother, kind of like, you know, kind of like Pam is. I mean, she's not a mother. She's more like a grandmother
spiritual
to us.
Spiritual grandma.
But that kind of situation. But Naomi, kind of a sad story as well. Both of her boys died. And then their wives, or wife, one of, I don't know what happened to the other one. But Ruth was like, I'm going to go live with you now, take care of you, because my husband died and your kids died. So that was cool.
That's an entertaining story.
Yep. I actually read that one in the Bible.
It really brings a lot of nutritional value to this podcast.
It does. And then there's Mary's mother. So probably Mary. One of the most known mothers in the Bible.
Mary's mother or Mary?
Mary, sorry.
Yeah.
What is there to say? This one kind of fulfills all the rest of the missions of the other ones. Like, we start out with Eve, and she's promised that your descendants will crush the head of death, essentially. And, well, Mary. Mary's the only mother that conceived a child through the Holy Spirit,
yeah.
Which is crazy to think about.
Which is funny. I saw this joke the other day. It was pretty funny. It was like, Joseph brings Mary a smoothie, and she's like, Joseph, where did you get this smoothie? We don't have a blender. And Joseph's like, oh, yeah, no, don't worry about it. We just had a blender. Don't worry. It just appeared. And then she's like, Joseph, but that's not realistic. And he's like, yeah, now you know how I feel.
Dude, Joseph, I feel for Joseph. Like, yeah, the amount of faith it took for, like, someone to be like, I'm pregnant. It's not your baby, but don't worry.
It's not.
It's fine.
don't worry about that one. He's not yours, but he's God's.
He's the chosen one. So yeah, crazy. Like, a lot of people, I think, confuse Mary for being a mature woman when she had Jesus, but like, she was like
14,
or like, I'm not sure exactly, but like young.
I hope it wasn't 14, because that's a little too young. Come on now, God.
So, yeah, very young girl with a lot of responsibility.
Joseph was probably like 26 or something.
I don't know how old he was. Well, they married young there too, so.
Culture there was really weird.
Well, our culture is probably weird to them back in
the... Yeah, that's true.
Well, the whole culture of the world, I feel like.
Well, I mean, just like, giving your daughter away is just kind of a weird thing.
Yeah.
So
that's all the mothers I got. Can you think of any I missed? I mean, there's obviously more. Like, there was John the Baptist's mom and, yeah. Like...
I mean, every character in the Bible had a mom.
Samuel.
Yeah, Samuel's mom.
Yeah.
Hannah.
That was a good one. Dude, David's mom's never mentioned. Did he have a mom?
No, yeah, he did. Oh, I mean, I hope he did, because he had seven brothers. Joseph's mom, which is Rachel, right?
Yes.
Yeah, no, yeah. Rachel was Joseph and Benjamin's mom, and everyone else was like Leah and different wives.
Yeah, that's how the entire tribe of Israel came to be, so pretty crazy. So moms, you guys have a big responsibility. Jonah, what's your favorite thing about mom?
About our mom?
Yeah.
My favorite thing about my mommy is, let me think. I have no idea.
Favorite and least favorite thing.
All right, so least favorite thing, I have a list going on here, starting at number 10, working all our way up to 100.
I think my favorite thing about mom is just the amount of time she takes from her life, essentially, to benefit our life.
That is true.
Because, like, there's a lot of moms out there that just, like, I feel like send their kids off to school and then worry about money and stuff. But it's just really cool to have a mom that spends literally her entire day to make sure that you grow up in the right way and know the right things.
I would say there's, like, a favorite thing about mom. And this might sound, like, really weird and kind of mean, but, like, she's just really well-rounded as a mom. So there's not, like, one outstanding shining quality.
Wow.
Perfectness. Perfection all around the board. Tens all around the board except for Wi-Fi policy.
Which has gotten better, you know?
That gets, like, a 5.
She does have some fun theories about stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Like, dude, the other day there was these, like, airplane streaks in the sky. And she's like, well, they're spraying again. And I'm like, who is spraying what? I'm like, Mom, the airplanes are not spraying chemicals. Dude, they're mind control.
Let me just read. My favorite thing to see craziness scale of Mom is the YouTube videos she sends me.
Yes,
starting with title number 1, will you starve to death this year? And title number 2, the mystery behind the founding of America in search of aliens. And then the healthiest protein in the world, because, you know, she's just kind of healthy. And then this is your body on cannabis. the creepiest jungle discoveries ever made. Tension pneumothorax, which is what I had. And then France elections, why you should care. Klaus Schwab interview.
All right, that's enough, Jen.
How the Nazis won World War II. And then, like, 18 million videos on 1984. And then an orange chicken recipe.
So we have recently taught my mom how to use YouTube, and it's led to some interesting results.
But yeah, it took her a while. We started in, like, 2016, and now she's just finally getting up to speed on one app.
Yep. So. And Instagram a little bit.
Mm. Yeah.
But, Mom, we love you. Yep. And your crazy theories. We'll see if you're right in heaven, I guess.
Or if we die that way. Yeah. Maybe one day I'll be like, yeah, my mind really was controlled by the apron streaks.
The what? You want to rephrase that?
The airplane streaks.
Yep.
Yeah.
Airplane streaks are a scary thing out there. Okay. Let's hop into some Q&A.
Woo!
Do you think members of the LGBTQ+ community can be Christians?
We've answered this question so many times. We did it on the episode where we reacted, and we did it on...
It was a joke.
The unnamed episode.
Next question. Can homosexuals...
sorry, we won't do that one. Next one. Can pansexual quasi...
no, if you want to... I'm not sure if I'll leave this in, but if you want to go look at that answer, I'll leave a link up here to an episode where we talk about that, because it's a long topic.
Don't do that, because that is the worst episode ever.
Not that episode, because we've talked about it in other ones.
Yeah, that's true.
Look, go listen to all of our podcasts, except for episode 15. Okay.
And episode 1. Don't listen to episode 1 either. Chaotic.
What is your favorite verse in the Bible? Mine is Mark 4:38-40. This person wrote mine. That's not my favorite verse. Let's go read what his favorite verse is. Sorry, I didn't write your name down. This person that asked the question's favorite verse,
Mark
4:38, is Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him and said to him, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" He got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the waves, "Quiet, be still." Then the wind died down, and it was completely calm. He said to the disciples, "Why are you afraid? Did you not have no faith? Do you still have no faith?" So that's pretty cool. Really puts into perspective the power of God and kind of the faith aspect of trusting in him in pretty much every situation, I guess.
Mine's Jeremiah 51:20. You are my battle axe and weapon of war. For you I will break the nation into pieces, and with you I will destroy kingdoms.
You want to maybe talk about why that's your favorite one?
No, I just think it's cool. I don't know. That's probably not my favorite, but I think it's a cool one. There's a video that we can react to if we want to.
Sure. Should I say my favorite that topic, or what's the video reaction to?
Rituals.
Cool. My favorite one is Isaiah 40:31. And this is what it says. Even when youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men stumble and utterly fall, but those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up on wings like eagles. They shall run and not grow weary. They shall walk and not grow faint, or not be faint. So I just really like the imagery it kind of portrays of an eagle flying and, like, picking us up and us flying, because I love flying in general, so that's kind of partly why. But I got on my car keys and stuff, so Isaiah 40, pretty fire. Apparently, we have a reaction video.
Yeah. So this one kind of ties into the weirdness of Hollywood culture. But context behind this video is it is Megan Fox on her relationship with Machine Gun Kelly. And she got asked a question about drinking his blood. And here's her answer.
Just a few drops. But yes, we do consume each other's blood on occasion for ritual purposes only. It is used for a reason, and it is controlled, where it's like, let's shed a few drops of blood and each drink it. He's much more haphazard and hectic and chaotic, where he's willing to just like cut his chest open with broken glass and be like, take my soul, let me bleed on you. It doesn't not happen, let me tell you. Maybe not exactly like that, but it a version of that has happened many times.
Friends.
So, okay, wait, I need more context. I don't know who that is.
Megan Fox?
Yeah, is she a news reporter or something?
She's an actor.
Okay.
And
sorry, I'm very uncultured.
So, she played the girl in Transformers, and she is, I don't know, dating, married, I don't really know, to Machine Gun Kelly, which is some singer.
Yeah. So, what's her, is she, what religion, or what?
I guess satanic, I don't know. They drink each other's blood.
So, what makes you want to share that, John?
Be careful out there, because there are some weird people. And I don't know, I guess the dangers of Hollywood culture, and it really is satanic in some places, because yeah, that was just really weird.
Interesting. Well, the vampires are out there, so be careful.
Yep. Dracula wants you.
Continuing with the Q&A.
Continuing with mothers.
Addie Moore. Any tips for when you feel far from God? Addie Moore, interesting you ask that, because I've kind of been feeling that over the past week or so. And I think it's my fault, because, like, I'm not really working. Like, here's what happens. I wake up, I'm like, I have to read the Bible today. So I just literally open the Bible app and hit play and just listen to it as I'm, like, putting my clothes on and, like, getting ready for the day.
My favorite thing is Luke says he reads, and then he proceeds to tell you that he's listening.
I do read it. But
no,
like,
you don't. You listen to it. You're like, oh, yeah, I read this book, and you listen to it on Audible. Anyway, it's the same thing.
Yeah, and I think it's better to read the Bible. So I'm like, okay, God, talk to me. And they give him like 10 seconds. I'm like, oh, nothing. All right. Going to resume the day.
Sucks for you. I'm going to go be sinny.
No, not in that way, but just like. So, like, I feel like God draws away from us, or it seems like he draws away from us because we draw away from him. So I think the way to feel close to God is to actually pursue that relationship. Because I like to think of, like, a relationship with God, like a relationship you'd have with a human, like any friend or whatever it is. You got to give time to that relationship for it to be a relationship. So reading the word and then really just meditating on what it's saying and how it applies to your life, and then just find somewhere to be quiet and just listen, and just try to, like, not think about. Because, like, every time I try to do that, I just think about so many things randomly, and it's, like, hard to just be quiet and not think about anything. But yeah.
Go build yourself a styrofoam chamber and just lock yourself in there and just no sound, you know, just completely tone deaf of all senses. Turn off the lights and just lay in a sensory salt pool and just kind of float there.
Yeah. John, did you have anything on feeling far from God or how to feel close to God? Or?
Yeah. Because I've been feeling that too, kind of lately. But, you know, it's easier in the Christian community not to say that and just be like, oh, yeah, everything's going great.
What's your definition of feeling close to God? Like, what feelings and attributes kind of connect with that?
Well, I don't know. We have this thing in our youth group down in Basalt called God Moments, where we can just, like, where we, like, say a moment in our day where we kind of felt close to God.
That is true.
But
yeah,
when I feel, like, close to God, it's just like everything is a God moment, and it just kind of makes sense, and you can, like, realize that stuff is from him, And, like, I don't know, you just feel so much happier and stuff.
Yeah.
And then when you don't feel close to God, you're just like, oh, yeah, that was kind of like random chance. That was pretty cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I feel like when you're close to God, like, I think the closest I felt to God is, like, worshiping, whether that be in the car or in a group setting. But there's just that feeling in your chest almost, and it's, like, just a super joyful, like, nothing matters, and just, like, mm-hmm. overwhelming just grace and peace about everything. I think that's the closest feeling I can get to, like, knowing God is right there. And the Spirit is, like, really mm-hmm. big and powerful within me and, like, really there. And then I guess also, like,
you can also get, like, that feeling from, like, when you know that you have to do, like, you should do something and you don't want to do it, but you know that you should, and you get kind of like that achy, like that feeling where you're just like, oh, I want to do it, but I can't. And then you, like, finally just overcome yourself. You just count to three in your head, just 1, 2, 3, go, and then you do it, and then you just feel so mm-hmm. much better.
No, that's a good point, because, like, I feel like we're so focused on, like, I need to feel happy with God and, like, get close to God, when sometimes the best way to get close to God is to just help others. Either get close to God or just help them with whatever they need. And you loving others kind of can translate into, like, you understanding how God loves you. And, like, there's a lot of ways that can happen. But, like, helping others is, I think, because, like, isn't, like, one of the biggest strategies of, like, mental health cases and, like, things like that is just, mm-hmm. like, to go serve.
Community service, yeah.
Yeah. So I think, I guess, to break down the tips we just said is, God's not drawing away from you. You're drawing away from him, most likely. So I would try to...
Don't be too harsh on yourself, though, because that happens to literally everyone.
So just make time, talk to God, read his word, and ask him what it means, and he'll tell you. And then serve others. Be Jesus, pretty much.
Be better than him, actually. This week's challenge of the Firestarters podcast, I challenge you, the listener, to be better than Jesus. And if you fail, you're just going to have to come back and listen again. But if you succeed, then you can never listen again. Anyway, that was a stupid joke because it's not possible. Moving on, Luke, continue. Sorry.
Well, all we have left is community insights. And, well, so I, okay, I'm going to address this. No, this is not the community insight, but. What kind of is, because I released a TikTok from the episode we did on demiology and all that. And let me just open the comment section on that one, because pretty much what was stated in the video is your soul, once you sell your soul, there's no going back. And pretty much everyone seems to disagree with it. And I wasn't on the podcast, so I don't have a certain yes or no answer to it right now.
You need connected.
I'm not going to show the video. You guys can go to our TikTok and watch it if you want. But it's got 130 comments. There we go. Texas Thod says, it's not yours to sell. There's only one unforgivable sin. And also, you selling your soul is just telling Satan you live for him and do his will. Yes, you can leave that. It's a lie from demons to make you think you can't go back. You can still be saved. This is not true. It is your soul to sell. This is not true. It is not your soul to sell. God owns your soul. I don't know what she's talking about. Okay.
Well, is it our soul or is it his? Because we have free will. So is free will like your soul, or is like free will just like your actions that you do?
This is a really big topic. Yeah. So like, here's my view on it. Yes, you can be saved with essentially almost everything. Like, if you murder someone, if you
Well, this is just the once blaspheme. Saved, always saved question again.
Pretty much.
For like the 18th time. I swear we've answered this so many times.
Yeah, but it always somehow comes up again because it's such a hard concept. So many different opinions on it, I think.
The only thing about it is that people are scared of it, and they just...
If you're scared of the question, you're fine. Okay, so chill. But back to the soul being God's or yours. Yes, God created you, but he gave you the free will to choose where your soul goes and who it belongs to, I think, right? Because mm-hmm. he gave us the choice to either be part of the world
or part of
him. now I guess the question is, can your soul come back from the world if you like give it to the world in the worst possible manner, which I guess in this situation would be selling your soul to the devil. Can that be redeemed?
Some people say you can't even sell it. Like, it's, yeah, like the concept like doesn't even exist.
Yeah. So here's, I can kind of almost relate selling your soul to the unforgivable sin in the sense of if you're selling your soul to literally the devil, like if the devil's real, God has to be real, right? Mm-hmm. So you essentially believe in God and you know he's real, but you're choosing to not trust God and love God and live for him, but you're choosing the complete opposite, which is living for the devil and literally giving your soul over to him. So in that sense, I feel like it's almost attributing God's handiwork and God's grace and love to the devil in a sense. So it could maybe be the unforgivable sin. But I do think, like, if someone's accidentally, you know, someone's like, oh, you want to sell your soul as a joke? Obviously, yes, there's obviously you can come back from that if you're not actually selling your soul. The thing from this video is what's her name?
Jocelyn.
Jocelyn. Sorry, Jocelyn. I'm bad with names. But she literally, like, she lived in the spiritual realm. And so I think for me to be able to tell her that she's wrong, I can't do that because, like, she has more experience in that. So, like, I have never seen demons and stuff like that. And I think when you're at that level, like, you have a different sense of understanding and you know God is real. So everything's kind of different.
Also, the thing is, I think if you sell your soul and then you say you can't redeem yourself, that's almost, again, putting a limit on God. And, like, Jesus already broke that boundary. Like, in a way,
I know, that's
like
what the people are saying in the comments.
I feel like selling your soul is just a different variation of the sin, and just being able to say that you can't redeem it would be like, I don't know, it would put a limit on God. He could definitely do that because he could liberate you from anything. The thing is with selling your soul, once if you really mean to sell your soul, you probably wouldn't want to be liberated because you've passed that point.
You've chosen a side.
Yeah.
So it's a hard question
because, yeah, I mean,
if, like, you feel sorry for selling your soul, yes, you can probably go back. Do you feel sorry for selling your soul? I think at the point to where you do sell your soul
and you actually mean
and
it,
you mean it, you have chosen your side and you're probably pretty steadfast. Like, it's in the Bible. It's like God's hardened the heart, right? It's kind of like that.
What he did to Pharaoh.
So that's kind of how I think about it. I'm sorry if there was kind of a weird thing in that episode that TikTok was maybe. The thing I hate about TikTok is it's so short. So you don't see the whole story, but
you can put 10-minute episodes on TikTok.
You can? Mm-hmm. I know, but people don't want to watch that.
Yeah, don't do that.
So can God save you from selling your soul? I'd say yes. Do people do that when they sell their soul? Probably not, because they've chosen a side. That's where we'll leave it with that. So I'm glad we covered that. And then next comedian site. So I did a little TikTok on forgiveness, and someone commented, forgiveness is a tool for the person who was hurt, not as much the offender. If we look at it from that perspective, it's clear why God expects it. So I don't really get this insight. John, do you have any thoughts on this?
Well, I mean, I think what they're trying to say is that, like, forgiveness. So what? How did they word it? Forgiveness is the tool of the person who was hurt and not much the offender. Well, I mean,
it goes both ways. It's not just benefiting one person. He's saying it benefits one person more than the other?
I mean, I think forgiveness benefits the person who was hurt more. Like, if I don't know, if I stole something from you and you forgave me, it probably would benefit you more than it does me.
Is that what he's saying? Because I agree with that.
Yeah. He says forgiveness is the tool of the person who was hurt, not much the offender, or the offender being the person who
hurt. Oh, okay. That makes sense. Yeah, that's good insight. Score key, thank you.
How did you not get that?
I don't know. It just didn't make sense. But thank you, Jonah.
Knowledge.
That's all we got for this episode, guys. So we're going to try to get some more exciting people on.
And I have a person, actually.
Who are you thinking of?
Billy Garafa. Do you hear his testimony?
No.
Ooh, he's good. He's very good.
Nice.
And I think he'd love to share it because, yeah,
Billy Garafa. Cool. Well, and then we'll have some, we'll have some cool people on. So stay tuned, subscribe, like, hit the like button, smash the like button.
Go raid.
Pray for the like button.
Yeah, go raid the fellow Firestarters Instagrams and everything and just guilt trip them into coming back on. Convict them. No, yep. Don't do that. That's a horrible idea.
Hopefully we have
Pray for their hearts. Pray for their souls.
Well, and to be honest, I doubt they're fallen from, like,
they're probably
just with their mom.
Yeah, they're with their moms.
But it's getting kind of suspicious. This is the second episode now. Just me and Jonah. So
come on, guys. Step it up. Again, we are homeschoolers and have no really real lives, but still. Come on now, guys.
So, have a great day. Happy Mother's Day. And we'll see you guys in the next episode.
It's not Mother's Day for them.
Jesus is a friend of mine.
Jesus is my friend.
Jesus is a friend of mine.
I have a friend in Jesus.
Jesus is